Hello, and welcome to Maximal Fire. I'm Alex.
I'm Johnny.
And this is Reactor Chat 3. So, Johnny, Legions Imperialis came out in August.
Oh, yeah, we've been...
Wait.
Yeah, F's in chat, boys. It is delayed to a indeterminate date.
Yeah. So, here was us kind of gearing up for everything to do with Legions Imperialis. We had events planned. We had a Clash of Legions going on Instagram. All this stuff. And GW have screwed the pooch. But we'll talk about that more a bit later, shall we?
It's heartbreaking. Yeah.
I mean, I think there was so much hype going on, right? And everybody was super psyched. And now it's kind of, you know, that meme with John Travolta where he's kind of like...
Oh, what?
Like, you go onto our Discord and everybody's like... It feels a little bit like that. Like everyone is clamoring for any little nugget of information which might kind of give us a hint as to what next. It's like they've given us the bag of crack, but they've taken away our pipe.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, they, you know, been drip feeding still some teasers that maybe they wouldn't have beforehand. So they're still trying to keep us interested and entertained. Everyone just seems to be 3D printing armies now. That's it. They've hit the point. They're like, oh, no, I can't wait any longer.
Desperation.
Seen like hundreds more 3D printed army posts. Yeah, fair enough.
But more on that to come, I think. We'll come back to that in a couple of minutes. Let's just crack on with the bits and pieces as always. So thank you very much for tuning in, guys. If you've watched our previous videos, our react chats are a little bit more of a kind of, well, I'm drinking beer, so it's a little bit more chilled out.
Nice. What have you got in there?
It's Stellar Artois.
Nice.
But I don't subscribe to the stereotype. Yes.
Yeah, let's not get demonetized in the first 2 minutes of the video.
Yes.
Alex.
So on that note, like and subscribe the channel.
Episode's over, guys.
quickly before anybody notices, and if you haven't already done so, please hop onto our Discord server. I'll tell you what, Legions has been absolutely great for the Discord. We've had to open up a whole different section of the Discord server just to account for the amount of Legions Imperialis chat. And it's kind of brought a whole wealth of people who didn't play AT, who were obviously previous Epic fans back in the day, into the server. It's been great to have a big influx of new blood. And what's also been quite good to see is that it's done what I think we hoped it would, and it started to turn a few people's eyes to AT. Especially this delay, but there's other problems again which we'll come to later, which is stopping that. But yes, I think we're nearly at 900 members now on the Discord server. I think last time I checked we were about 4 or 5 away from that number, which is incredible. So who is going to be number 900? We shall see. So yeah, do jump on the Discord. We have regular hobby hangouts. It's a great place to be. Lots of chat about general stuff. A lot of meme shit posting as well. So it's good. It's varied.
They're animals, all of them.
It's something for everybody. And I think the most important thing is it's a really inclusive space to be. We don't tolerate any nonsense in there. But generally speaking, everybody in there is good adults, and we are very rarely have to sort of step in as mods and admins to say anything. I don't think, like, well, I'm not going to say that because that'll just open the floodgate. Who wants to be the first person to be permabanned? But
we've had a permaban. It was, I'm not saying it was funny, but what they were posting was a permaban for sure. It's quite surprising because it was like moments after opening the server as well, so it must have been a bot or something. But no, everyone that's been arriving, I'm really surprised with how well everyone's been behaving. A cool group of people, all excited about tiny big robots.
I mean, why wouldn't you be?
Right, you know?
Yeah, so talking about cool groups of people, like, we have to talk about our patrons. We've got a few new ones since the last time that we talked about this. So big shout out to Monsters Abound, Robin Layton and Tom McGee. Thank you very much for supporting the show, guys. If you do want to hop on board and help us out, you can back the show from as little as a quid. Helps us run the Discord server. It helps us run all of our events. It helps us do this. And yeah, generally kind of like fly the flag of Adeptus Titanicus and soon to be Legions Imperialis as well. So thank you to all of our patrons. Like, we seriously couldn't do this show kind of without you guys or do the things we do within the community. So big love. But if you don't want to necessarily kind of like subscribe to a monthly payout, it's only you can go in as little as a quid a month, which is that's about the same price as a chocolate bar, just saying. You can also, if you use our affiliate link for BattleBling, any purchase that you make on BattleBling for all of your bling goodness, your nameplates, your magnet arms, your Reaver top hats and all that kind of stuff, we get a small percentage kickback from BattleBling as well. So do remember, use that link. Every little helps, goes a long way to helping and supporting the channel. So on the subject of other sponsors, though, like, we haven't given Grimdark, we haven't talked that much about Grimdark in the last couple of episodes, because we've been so busy with talking about Legions, but I did notice this month they have, or rather Rudolph has dropped a Trench Warfare pack designed specifically for Legions Imperialis, and fully compatible with, in my opinion, the best range of terrain that he does, which is the Argus terrain pack, which are like the little octa bunkers and aircraft, the airfield towers and that sort of stuff. So that looks fantastic. That has got me kind of psyched up for firing up my 3D printer again, which is, it's been a while since I've had that resin machine churning in the background. Yeah,
it's hard, isn't it? It's a lot of effort for inconsistent reward.
But I'm going to go on a bit of a limb and say that if you've been a diehard Epic fan of yore, you probably own a 3D printed Epic army if you've been playing any time recently. So what better way to get ready for Legions Imperialis than picking up the Trench Warfare Terrain Pack by Grimdark Terrain and getting your trenches ready for the battlefields of the 31st millennium.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Right. We talked about this a little bit before. We were hoping very much with Legions sort of dropping in August, as it was, that we were going to have a Legions event happening in November. Needless to say, that isn't going to happen now, as the game might
be a bit tricky to run it.
Might not even be out by then. We are currently looking into whether or not we'll turn it into an AT event, but that has not yet been fully confirmed, and we're still waiting on things like availability of TOs for the day and also to finalise any form of pack. However, I can confirm that the Beachhead 2024 tickets are now up and live on the Entoyment website. Similar to last year, it's a team event, team tournament. It was massively popular last year. Like, everybody who went said they had a great time, which is amazing to hear as TOs. And they've been up for a couple of weeks now, and we are 50% sold out. Now, these tickets are currently up for £100 a ticket. However, that ticket buys two-day entry for three people, so a team of three. So effectively, it works out as £33 a ticket, which is actually, for a two-day tournament, one of the cheapest tournament tickets that you'll see, certainly in the UK at the moment. Hoping to make this one an international one as well. See if we can get some people from the continent over again. That would be really cool.
Oh, yeah.
But yes, do not delay. If you want to get a team together for Beachhead, there's plenty of people looking. If you haven't got a wider group of people to play with on our Discord server, hop onto our Discord server, ask about. Maybe there's going to be some people on there who have got a space on their team that you can join. But yeah, tickets are selling quite quickly, so don't hesitate. Get them. There is a possibility, like a small possibility, I guess, that we might release additional tickets later on. But this ultimately comes down to whether or not we as a team can work out how we can get more terrain, ultimately. We have a lot of tables of AT terrain, and we have a lot of mats, but obviously every single table is a considerable investment from our behalf. I think on average you're talking £150 to £200 a table after everything that goes onto it. So we might be calling in some favours, but if there is the demand for it and people do want more, we might look at opening up some later tickets. But secure your place now, make sure that you don't miss out, and get your ticket sort of ASAP, really.
Yeah, hell yeah. Yeah, we pride ourselves on our boards, don't we? So we want to stretch our terrain thin.
Exactly that, yeah.
Get extra tables, you know, if we're going to do it, we'll do it properly.
We've always had consistent feedback that, you know, the terrain and the tables that we put on are some of the best going for AT events. So we want to keep it that way. I mean, the one good thing, of course, is that with Legions coming out, I've bought more terrain. So I've got like maybe 3/4 of a board sorted, which would be Legion specific, but it might be a bit too dense for Adeptus Titanicus. I'd have to have a look. I've got that massive wall section, which might be a little bit hindry for the Titans. But yes, and plenty of... I do have quite a lot of ruins, though, which I got from our other sponsors, Troubleshooter Games. Troublemaker Games. Oh, my gosh. That was a faux pas. Troublemaker Games. Troubleshooter Games. It sounds like a tech support. Troublemaker Games. Do apologise. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
They've only been on board for a couple of months, so it's still teething issues, isn't it? It's not like Grimdark or Battlebling, which have been with us for 2.5 years, so...
Out to the family.
Moving swiftly on.
Cut.
Oh,
they're cool. They're cool.
I did want to give a couple of shout outs for a couple of other events, though. So there is on the 14th and 15th of October, Greetings from the Warp. I've put on a AT event, and that is up just outside, I think it's Wellingborough. I think is the town, which is just outside of Northampton. They're doing a two-day narrative event. 2,500 points, which is going to be quite cool. Four games over 2 days. That's £35 a ticket. We're hoping to be at that one, me and Johnny, and hopefully Oliver as well from the Maximal Fire crew. So, yeah, that looks to... I'm really quite looking forward to that. It's been a long time since I've done a narrative event.
Yeah, for sure. 2,500 points as well, and some, you know, home rule alterations to allow us to mix Legios. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I've been speaking to the TO as well, and like testing the waters about whether or not they might entertain the big boy attending that event. So the Warbreaker may be walking for the first time at Greetings from the Warp.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be quite cool. But they always put on a good event, always get good feedback, the Greetings from the Warp guys. And this is being hosted. Obviously, it's Greetings from the Warp is the event, but the actual AT tournament is being hosted by a new Adeptus Titanicus and Legions Imperialis podcast called Advancing Fire. So great to see some more podcasters for the game out there flying the flag of Epic Scale. If you haven't heard of them, their stuff is available on, I believe, most podcast platforms. I found them on Spotify. They've got their first kind of pilot episode out at the moment. But yeah, really good stuff. It's nice to see more people getting involved in the community. So give them a listen. And yeah, and if you want to come to Greetings, come to Greetings. But the one event that I... The one event I can't do, though, and I kind of feel a little bit guilty about this, because Jim has been to a couple of ours now, and he's also coming to Beachhead next year, is the next Twisted Titanicus event, Twisted Titanicus 5, The Liberation of Samalus Prime, is happening on the 21st and 22nd of October. Unfortunately, I'm not in the country that week. I'm going abroad with the family. That's in Leighton Buzzard, and they are doing like a combined AT and Aeronautica event. So if you don't want to play AT, you can play Aeronautica instead. That's £45 for 2 days. And yeah, like the Twisted Titanicus guys always put in a good show. And in fact, our friends from Battlebling have actually put out, I believe it was released this week, the Twisted Titanicus supply pack. This is basically a bundle of bling, a bling bundle, which they put out for £35 and saves you about £30 on what you would buy within it. And it comes with one of their plasma decimators, a Carapace plasma decimator. I do love the plasma weapons that they've made. I had a couple of those on my Crucius.
The tri-barrel. Oh, yeah. It looks so good. Or coil, even. Yeah. Oh,
the plasma caliver, I believe that's the one that goes on top of the Reaver. One of the missile arms, the Brimstone missile launcher, fusion missile launcher, and a Warbreaker head objective marker. So that was the one which was previously available in the Clash pack, I think, from the beginning of this year. So a good way to kind of stock up on your bling and, like I say, save some money and support our friends at Battlebling, but also Twisted Titanicus. So yeah.
Oh yeah. I think they said there's going to be some like custom rules for some of those bits in that pack as well.
Yeah, they've made
completely
it
lying, but
no. There is, yeah. I'm not sure where you get access to them, but they certainly got images on their website. So on their website, you can see the photos of the custom rules for the plasmas. So I'm sure you can. I'm sure there'll be a link to them on their website, or you'll have access to them somehow.
Absolutely. Oh, he's chugging down the beer. Here we go. This is going to be a good one.
I've only had one. I'm not quite that.
The button ready.
not quite that much of a lightweight. So, Johnny, hobby news then. So I've been a little bit quiet over the last few weeks. I think... The news about Legions did kind of take the wind out of my sails a little bit. I was well geared up and ready for that. And when that kind of didn't happen, I sort of... Yeah. I lost a bit of enthusiasm temporarily. It kind of coincided as well with my band becoming really busy in town. So... I've been kind of throwing myself a little bit more into my music the last couple of weeks rather than throwing myself into painting. But I guess, you know, variety is the spice of life. And now kind of getting that out of my system and having a little bit of a break, I'm pretty psyched again, actually. And I joined my first hobby hangout last night for a while on Discord. And it was great to see everybody. Had a month's worth of banter to throw at the regulars. Yeah. What about you? Yeah, what have you been up to?
Well, I was going to say, your music's very good. Let's go and see you live. Well,
thank you. Just hitting my
microphone. All right. I don't know. They're very good. We won't inflate that ego anymore, though.
It doesn't. It's as big as it's going to get, mate.
Yeah, Kerrang Band on Facebook. There you go. You don't have to feel like a shield. A shield.
Apart from it's Meringue Band. Not, no.
Yeah, Meringue. Damn. Your music was good that
try.
Good.
Good try.
Your music was that good that I thought it was actually from Kerrang.
Yeah, we are a Kerrang era covers band, covering all of the stuff from like the early 90s and late 90s, early noughties, called Meringue. It's not just because we like
Meringue.
Like sugary desserts. That's
they are pretty lit as well. Oh yeah, also your it may have coincided with a certain release sat behind you as well, but yeah.
May have had my eye turned by the Cities of Sigmar stuff over the last couple of weeks. I think which one was it? We covered it, didn't we? There was a... Were they first teased in that ridiculous 3 a.m. in the morning live stream that we did? Adepticon?
First teased there.
Or was it Fest?
God, I don't remember now.
Might have been Fest.
It's been teased for a while, but we got like the first like good bit of content for them, I think, in one of those two.
Yeah.
You would be a liar to say if anyone said that one of the, you know, not one of those models from that range, you know, not impressed by, because each one is so goddamn good.
I mean, humans have been kind of like, well, not ignored, but kind of like they've not had anywhere near as much love as some of the other races over the last few years. And I've never really been a big old world fan or the fantasy side of it. I've always been more of a 40k person, but after painting Titans for the best part of 3 years, it was nice to... I picked up the Van Denst Witch Hunters and painted them up to see if I enjoyed painting them, and I actually really had a lot of fun painting those guys up. So I wanted to scratch that itch a little bit, and we've got quite a big Mordheim group of people in our area, and it's always been something that I've wanted to support. My mate who does all the running of it, a guy called Stu Creswell, he's been sort of front and center of the Mordheim continuers group. I don't know what you would call it, the people keeping Mordheim alive since it kind of stopped in the early 2000s. And I've wanted to always get involved, but like, I'm not a big... this is a heathen comment probably. I'm not a big Old Hammer or Middle Hammer fan. Like, the miniatures didn't really do it for me back then. Probably because that's when I worked for Games Workshop and I painted so many of them at the time that I kind of can't get the same kind of enthusiasm for them as when I was back then. But I've wanted to get involved in Mordheim for a while, but I've always found myself kind of looking at other ranges of miniatures, not Games Workshop, because the old Empire miniatures and the old Militia miniatures were just that kind of era of plastics for GW, which, like, alongside the Catachan Jungle Fighter level of kind of derpy in my mind. So when these guys came out, and like you say, every single one of them is just chock full of character. There's amazing. My favorite miniatures to paint, and follow me on this tangent, but back in the, I would say the only miniature which I could say I really loved when I was working at Games Workshop back in the early 2000s was the, what was the name of the Chaos Dwarf, the Hell Cannon that they did. And those sort of Chaos Dwarfy models. Now, I know these obviously aren't Chaos Dwarfs, but like, some of the miniatures within this range have got that kind of cold iron sort of burning, like the similar kind of feel to it to me. Like,
yeah.
I've got the little soup maker, whatever his name is. He hasn't got his cauldron on him yet. The guy with his big pot of soup. And that kind of, it just sort of...
it's like a pig iron vibe, where it's just like, you know, thick crap iron. Like, it is a very grim, dark army. you know, they've even included like the small little sprites and familiars, like the fish and stuff like that as well, which is a very like John Blanche Mordheim thing. They knew exactly what they were doing when they set these up.
Yeah, and I kind of figure that even if I don't paint the whole army, or if I run out of steam with these guys, then I've got models that I can paint myself a warband with. And there's loads of really good stuff for that at the moment. Like there's the Underworlds gang. You'll know more about that.
Chanters. Yeah.
Like they're great models. Perfect again for Mordheim. They've just announced at the Nova Open, there's a new Witch Hunters, I don't know if you would call it a warband for Warcry.
Yeah.
That's going to be coming out as well.
It's in a box set with those really cool Flesh Gorgers, I think they were, in Old Hammer.
Yeah. So lots of that kind of cool stuff coming out. And both of them have rules in there as well. So... yeah, very, very cool.
Extremely sick. I think humans in any setting, you know, Astra Militarum for 40k, Solar Auxilia for Heresy, now you've got your Cities of Sigmar, like true humans, I think are so, so important to a war game. They are like the
benchmark.
Narrative benchmark and the sounding board. It's like, okay, this dude is having the fucking worst time in the world because he's just marched hundreds of miles to rock up at this site, and there is like an 8-foot tall chaos warrior just staring him down at the destination. And I think they capture it so well.
I think it was Legalized Mischief on Instagram. I think it was him who said this. I might be misquoting. But he said that the actual models for the humans, they actually feel quite small. But because of that, it kind of almost kind of accentuates the fact that they are just little dudes. I think they're on like 25 millimeter bases or something as well. Really small bases. So again, yeah, just sort of feels.
Still have scaled them against the old Mordheim stuff, and I mean, there's incremental size increases, but it's more proportional than it is actual height. You know, the heads are shrunk slightly, but they're still like roughly the same height. You know, the bodies are a lot more in proportion. And they're just like bulked out with whatever gambeson padding that they're just like, you know, wearing. And they're great. I think they're really, really cool. I'm very excited because you aren't the only friend of mine that's gotten to that box now, so I'm going to be playing so much AOS.
Yeah, well, you know, you've been trying to get me to play it for a while, and there wasn't anything that was really properly pulling my arm towards it. I quite liked the lizard men when they came out, but you already had those, so there's kind of no point in me kind of doubling up on that. But yeah, like it's I'm hoping that this will kind of scratch an itch and get me kind of ready to do something new with Legions when it finally drops. So I can spend a couple of months working on this, and then I'll jump over to that whenever that should be. But you've still not answered the question.
Slowly. Oh, yeah.
You've still not answered the question, Johnny. What have you been doing? What haven't you been doing?
Go
on, let's run us over like all of the events and stuff you've been to.
It's a reactor chat. So we'll go in a little bit more detail, but we won't be here forever because your boy has been saying yes to too much stuff, and I'm loving it. Also, it's just been frantic. So a couple of weekends ago, went to a Mordheim event at Entoyment. You mentioned earlier was running it. It was a Lustria one. So I had basically a week to paint up a Tylian warband. These are like your Old Hammer Conquistadors. And because it's in Lustria, that's kind of like the New World setting. And that was a really, really fun event. And yeah, Stu, it was amazing. You know, I brought some Griblies along, some creatures. And, you know, there was like a blackboard, the prices of items you bought between games like fluctuated depending on supply and demand. So really cool, really narrative. And I think that's what I'd been missing a while, is like something more narrative, more, you know, laid back and fun.
Like a campaign-y kind of narrative as well, like with that sort of inter-game progression, like you get with Necromunda and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, dudes dying. That was a Dreadsaurian that completely destroyed a load of my guys on the final game, which is very funny. Or the final game I played. Yeah, really, really good time. the weekend after that, went around to a friend's, played a game of 40k. So I had to get Tyranids up to like a, I'm happy to have them on the tabletop standard. That was that week's painting schedule. This week I have been finishing off my Underworlds Warband for an Underworlds event on Sunday. Damn, I love that game. That's probably one of my favourites, alongside Titanicus for
It's nice to see that GW produce. Kind of resurging again, because that sort of went quite quiet. I think, like, lockdown, there was a bit of a worry, wasn't there, that lockdown killed it, but it's nice to see it kind of, like... Because I would go as far to say that that set of games, or that game, has got some of the nicest sets of miniatures. And that's even alongside, like, Age of Sigmar, which I think, you know, like the game or not, I think Age of Sigmar has probably got the most impressive... models of any range, and I say that without even having played the game. I think they just look beautiful, and really dynamic as well. Like the way that they've been able to kind of work, like the work with the plastic to kind of make some really clever dynamic poses and stuff. But Underworlds in particular, like every single model is like hero quality.
Yeah, well, that's it. You're only having like up to 7 models, so and most of them are between like 4 models, the 4 model count. So they really kind of put in the extra effort for each of those individual sculpts. I appreciate, because it takes up less space, and you can really spend time painting your army. And there's deck building, and I'm a Magic the Gathering goblin at heart, so. That kind of scratches that itch as well.
How have you found 10th? Obviously, 10th been out for a few months now. I've refused to kind of get back into 40k. I feel like it's a hole that I don't want to kind of reopen again for me. But like, obviously, 9th had its problems, and it felt like they rushed out 10th. But like, how have you found it? How's your game experience been on 10th so far?
So. I was working at GW when 8th released, and when 8th released, a big issue was that the indexes came out. Everyone had index armies. Then codexes started arriving, and the codexes were far more in depth, far better. So whoever had the you know, it was called the codex creep. Everyone knows it, right?
GW is worst kept secret, really, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Yeah, but this, because of the whole index method, which don't get me wrong, I'd much rather have all the indexes ready to actually play the game when it releases, as opposed to just whoever gets a codex. When you have some of those indexes that have been out for a while and they're going up against like codex armies, it's a bit of feel bad moment. So I'm getting a bit nervous about that. The game itself was very good. The mission cards, we did like a fluid dynamic secondary generation thing. I don't know what you'd call it, to be honest. But the game was quick. It felt more streamlined, easier when all the stuff's on the cards. It didn't feel too imbalanced. We weren't taking very balanced or very good lists. You know, we were just picking what looks cool. I was picking all the new Tyranids, and some of those are not too great. It was very, very close. And there was like, it was jumping to and from. It's a bit like Titanicus, where, you know, it can, up to the last moment, still kind of wave either way, which feels good. When you're playing it more laid back, I can imagine it's possibly not, you know, best for competitive, but I'm kind of out of the, I kind of skipped 9th, really into 8th, but I skipped 9th quite a bit, so I'm a bit out of the loop. But from at least initial game, it was good fun. Just concerned about the trends of seeing like one codex come out every 3 months, and that be like the army that's going to be at the top of the leaderboards. Because I want to have friends over for like a weekend to play games, and I'm now really concerned that the Tyranid Codex is going to come out, so it's going to be me versus them two who will not have their codexes released.
Yeah, I think that's always a risk, isn't it, as well? I know that the Imperial Guard players were a bit frustrated with their codex coming out and it being good finally, but then immediately kind of 10th codex came out and like back to the start again sort of thing.
I believe that was the Dark Elf, Dark Eldar or Drukhari players in 8th edition. They were one of the last to get it, or maybe Sisters of Battle, one of the last to get it, had their codex for like a month, 2 months, and then it jumped straight to 9th, and they were like, great.
Yeah.
Excellent. So, there's obviously always a lot of negativity, sadly, around GW stuff. I think there is a propensity to hyper-analyze a lot of things, but from the game I had, I really had a good time, so, you know, who the hell cares about best in the meta, you know what I mean? It was good fun. And Underworlds this weekend, like I was saying, got a pretty nasty deck. I can't wait to unleash it, see how well it does. I came second at the last one I did, so it was a little while ago though. So hopefully we can try and score high again this time around.
Oh, fingers crossed for you, mate. Before we kind of talk a little bit more about AT and Legions. Obviously, the Nova Open we touched on this earlier on was the other day. I was very thankful that there was nothing in there that I was that bothered about, because I don't need to get hyped about anything else at the moment. that is good. Some quite interesting stuff in there, though. Some quite nice stuff. I think Space Marine players are probably happy to finally get their jump pack close combat intercessors. But there was one model which has caused a bit of controversy at the moment, and I think a lot of people saw it and immediately kind of had a happy dance in their pants, only to see that it was not the 40k miniature that they were hoping for, and was in fact the absolutely phenomenal Ascended Fulgrim for 30k.
As a 30k Emperor's Children player, I am so unbelievably excited. I didn't quite realize straight away that it wasn't for 40k, which must be so heartbreaking for every Emperor's Children player. I mean, for a starters, they're playing Emperor's Children in 40k, which has seemed to have gone well in recent editions, at least when you've got Black Legion and World Eaters now and stuff like that, Death Guard running around. So, you know, they're really suffering for us already, and now they don't get a Fulgrim. And I think they actually specifically said in the thing that there wasn't going to be 40k rules for it, which is bold move.
Well, I guess the thing is that is the first Demon Primarch for 30k. You could kind of count Horus in that. You've got the Horus Ascended, Engorged Horus, as they called him at the time. I like saying that at any opportunity that I get. But he was just obviously like a slightly chunkier Horus. This is the first proper demon, resin demon Primarch for 30k. And, I mean, I dread to think what the price tag is on that guy, because he looks pretty big.
Considering Sanguinius was 110 with a scenic base, 120?
Something like that, yeah. I mean, I'd be surprised if this guy's not pushing to like close to 200.
Oh, please say no. I can't do this.
But they've obviously done all the rest of them, haven't they, for 40k? At least the important ones, right? Sorry, Perturabo fans.
The ones for each core legion, bar Emperor's Children.
Each of the chaos gods. So that, you know, you've got Magnus is out, you've got Mortarion, you've got Angrom. The only one that's missing is Fulgrim, Demon Fulgrim. So I can understand why people were a bit disappointed, but it would have been a little bit weird to just sort of drop that in, because normally like these guys are released as part of like a big sort of expansion announcement or something, or part of a series of books. So just sort of drop him in like that. Like, I don't know what people were really expecting. But yeah, I mean, that he is the first that we'll see. And I, what I'm really excited to see and what I'm really interested to see is obviously like they must be doing the rest of them now as well. So
yeah. So when Horus Ascended was announced, when we were doing a live reaction or a reaction to the reveals, I think we said that they would do the rest of the Demon Primarchs after him as well.
They're bound to, right? But what I would like to see is there going to be, I get the feeling there is going to be a clear aesthetic difference between, and I'm not just talking about them changing over time, but like your 40k miniatures versus your 30k miniatures. The 30k miniatures tend to be a little bit more
true scale.
a little bit more, let's say, realistic, and a little bit less kind of accentuated, and a bit like your 30k, so your 40k range, things tend to be a little bit exaggerated in places. So I'd really be interested to see if they do choose to bring out a 30k Angron, for instance, which I would imagine to be similar to, you know, your 40k scale one, but maybe slightly different, and maybe a little bit slightly sleeker, because obviously this guy is, he's a chonk, the new guy. But in 30k, I think we're more likely to see, like we've seen with Fulgrim, more of a man, just bigger,
corrupted. Yeah,
yeah.
I think definitely it's going to be like a more like dynamic, fluid pose, I imagine, as well. You know, Angron in 40k is very like, I'm walking towards you, but not like, you know, leaping through the air, flying with its wings. Like a lot of I'd be surprised if the sculpt, when they do eventually do Angron 30k, isn't like flying or something like that, because that's a big feature of the Horus Heresy, is him flying around being an asshole all along the wall.
Wouldn't you just love to see them release another set of jewels and having Sanguinius versus Angron?
I mean, they're not going to do it because they've already released Fulgrim now.
But there's not, like, the battle between Fulgrim and Dawn at the wall of Siege of Terror, because let's be honest, that is where we're at with that sculpt and with that model. It's Siege of Terror, really. It's there or just before. It's not long. It is that era. So your big battle there is against Dawn, and it's not really kind of quite so dynamic, or rather evocative. You compare that to the fucking cage match style between Sanguinius and Fulgrim, Sanguinius and Angron.
Angron, yeah.
Where Sanguinius is literally ripping the nails out of the back of Angron's head and stuff, like, and they're in the air, and it's all like this aerial thing. Like that for me was kind of like one of the best moments of the Siege of Terror.
100%. It would be so cool if they did jewels. I would maybe be interested to see a refresh of the Loyalist marks as well. So I think we mentioned last time we spoke about it in the podcast, like a Jagatai Khan on
jet bike.
Maybe that was actually for Legions Imperialis. We were talking about it, but still applies for 30k as well. Dawn that is maybe in a fighting pose, because a lot of the Loyalist Primarchs are in like on fighty poses. They're like in regal poses. Yeah. Like Dawn's just like stood there with his chain blade. Like, do we get a Dawn that's armor is just rent and torn, and he's fighting,
yeah, like commanding, you know, from the walls sort of thing. Yeah, like and even the Sanguinius model, as nice as it is, the pose is just quite weird for like a tabletop miniature, because it's all pointing downwards at the floor. And I would like to see something a bit more open, a bit more kind of like, I'm the fucking angel, dude, come at me. And I've always thought that the Gilliman one's a really nice sculpt, but at the same time, it looks like he's trying to get vegetables off the top shelf.
He is just.
I'll have that one.
You want some cool ass, you know. You compare that one, then you've got like OG Fulgrim. You know, people argue about the pose, some people don't like it, but I think it's pretty cool where he's just like going through the air with his blade.
Well, of course, that was designed as a duel.
Between Ferris, which is the coolest, I think, out of the duels.
Yeah, one of the best by far. I think after that, the duels kind of it was the what there wasn't there an Abaddon and Loken duel as well.
Yeah, very good one though.
Yeah, but like that was definitely one of the best Primarch duel that they did. Yeah, I would like to see some Siege of Terror era Loyalist Primarchs. I think that's where they, because I very much feel like the Sanguinius we've got is the him fighting on what's the name of that demon planet, fighting against oh shit, what's his name?
Shit. Carbander.
Carbander. Yeah. It's
Carbander.
that kind of era, I think. Like, whereas I'd like to see something which is him kind of fighting at the Walls of Terror, and like you say, where's Jagatai Khan with his jet bike? Like, they've all been crying out for that for God knows how long, so that'd be quite cool.
They had the audacity to release him without a jet bike. It's a sad time. It is a sad time.
But I guess they've set a precedent though now, haven't they, with these bigger miniatures, like Fulgrim, like a bigger resin miniature. There's just one thing which really concerns me about Fulgrim.
World resin.
It's the wings. Like a stiff breeze is going to cause problems with those wings.
God. I really don't want to do it. I don't want to inflict that emotional torment on myself building that model.
Not only is it that there doesn't look like there's much of a join between the back and the wings, problem number one. It's the spikes at the end of the wings, like they look really thin.
Coming off.
Like all that's going to take is for that one model to be knocked over once, and you're breaking something. Sadly.
I think it's going to have to be a super magnet case and like it be the only thing in the case.
Yeah, and no other model is allowed
What
to come within
magnet?
12 inches of it on the tabletop.
Yeah, we'll just replace it with a similar size base and just leave it there.
Well, he now comes in a six, like an 8-inch by 8-inch glass cube. That's his base size. You put him in the middle of the table, and you just move the display case around the table to make sure he doesn't get damaged.
Here's the real model, just pretend that he's there.
Yeah. Look at this one. Yeah, that piece of cork. That's actual Fulgrim.
Got that model there. Oh, just let
It's
me paint it.
yeah, I thought you might be happy with that. There's also been rumors about some, I know we were talking about Emperor's Children, but there's been rumors again, hasn't there, about plastic Emperor's Children being re-released as well. I think for 40k rather than 30k, but I think that's probably what got everyone excited by the possibility of a 40k Fulgrim.
Also, new Mark III armor for Heresy as well. And that box set kind of looks cool. If I was starting fresh, probably would have still gone with the core set, to be
It's
honest. But
needed because the Corvus armor doesn't work for some Legios, really,
I wouldn't
in
want to
my
have Iron
mind.
Warriors,
No.
and yeah.
Even kind of like your Imperial Fists and like your to a lot of extent like Blood Angels. I know there is precedence for beaky Blood Angels, right? You've got what's his face? Zephon. Is it Zephon? He's a beaky.
Ralph runs a beaky as well, isn't he?
I'll take your word for it. I can't recall off the top of my head. But either
Well,
way, like there's still a big, huge chunk of those guys who are kind of in the Mark III, and because of that scale creep again, the old ones just didn't look right next to him. But like certainly your Imperial Fists, your Iron Warriors, your Death Guard. Like the Mark VI just looks a bit strange with those. However, Raven Guard all over it. Love it.
100%. I'm confused why is cataphracti armor in the old in the original Heresy box as opposed to Tartaros, and then have like Cataphracti armor and the Mark III. It's because that's the other thing as well in that set that kind of it doesn't really match up because it's quite short as well, Terminator armor. So the B keys tend to walk at the same height unless you get exciting with cork basing for your Terminators.
Yeah, you want to see a bit more of that kind of difference that you're seeing in now in the new 10th edition Terminators, which are very nice. And of course, they've had new Terminator Captain, I think it was, wasn't it? And a Terminator Chaplain.
Plastic Scouts as well, new Plastic Scouts.
Still, no, I don't really like them. I don't think that they look kind of as good as the old Plastic Scouts, and that's not saying a lot.
I'm not going to lie, I thought it was a repackage at first.
It's just not.
I think maybe the paint job's not doing it a disservice, maybe, or maybe it's.
Maybe.
I don't know. I have a friend who plays Sons of Medusa, Nathan, if he's listening. He absolutely loves scouts. So we were just trying to work out how many sniper rifles that will come in the kit. So he wants them all to have them.
So any more Games Workshop? We haven't touched on Blood Bowl, but let's not. We've talked about everything else apart from one that this
so close.
Vampires, of course, for Blood Bowl. But yes, like we are a Titanicus and Legions podcast, so we should probably get to talking about some of the news.
The reactor chat. We can be a bit more chilled out.
Yeah. So yeah, it's nice to see. Before we do go on to that, obviously the Fae Enchant, like the not Fae Enchantress, what's his name, for Old Worlds is again another really Damsel. Nice model. Damsel, yeah. That's it, yeah. Very nice model, I thought. Nice paint job.
Nice.
Very good job on the face, I thought, on the paint job for that. But I still hear rumours flying about all over the place as to when Old Worlds is coming out. Some people have been, oh, it's Christmas. I'm like, it's how? It can't be. Not a chance. Like, where are you getting that from? I might.
Ooh. Go on.
I was going to say, I think we're talking end of next year at the earliest with that one. I can't see it being before. Because I think there's going to be a new edition of Age of Sigmar, I think, before we get that. I think they'll try and cash in on Age of Sigmar before they drop it. Because people keep forgetting that they said when they first announced Old World, couple of years ago, they said this thing is years off. Like, they announced it literally right at the start of the design phase, and there's a lot of models to design here, unless they're kind of going to repackage everything from Age of Sigmar. So like, it's been a number of years now. I would put a guess on it being end of next year, but I don't know if I can get excited about it. I don't know.
A lot of theories are saying it's going to be Tomb Kings versus Bretonnia.
Well, I mean, we've already seen the models, right?
Right, exactly. It's probably going to be that in the starter box. That is insanely sick. That's an awesome move. Two armies that everyone was upset about losing.
Don't you feel like, though, that the new Cities of Sigmar box has kind of stolen a bit of the Bretonnian thunder?
I think it's just stolen a bit of the Old World thunder, to be honest. And I know we're going to get a lot of angry people from the Old World community say otherwise, but guys. These Cities of Sigmar are very cool.
That lady, I've got on her name now, the lady who's like being carried and she's got like a dead dude on the back. I mean, that's very reminiscent of the old Grail reliquary. From back in the day, like that mixed with like some of the other bits and pieces, and like even the Manticore that they've released, very kind of, well, in fact, you know, there's so many huge monsters now in Age of Sigmar that Luen Leoncourt, although it's before his time, isn't it, so he wouldn't be involved.
I think they've chosen a slightly out of sequence timeline, I think, that they haven't covered before. It's cool. Talking about Free Guild again. General on horse as well. If you ever have a look at it, just a shout out to anyone that's listening, have a look at it and look how tired, they've made the horse look just by its model and its sculpt. It's awesome. The Free Guild General and horse or whatever the hell it is. And those models are cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what I can do with mine, very much so. Anyway, let's talk about the sad trombone, which was the launch of Legions Imperialis. Oh dear, what on earth happened there? I've heard so many rumours about what happened. Everything from it was suggested that somebody noticed that there was like some kind of inflammatory phrases which had stolen from kind of like fascist governments or something within the rulebook. So the rulebook had to be reprinted. Like, I've no idea what that was going on about. Like, somebody suggested that there'd been phrases used in it, which actually you could kind of like tie back to kind of like some far right.
Jesus Christ.
Who knows, right? To just the fact that they over ordered and under ordered the actual physical boxes for them. So they ended up with a load of stuff with nothing to put boxes in. I mean, at the end of the day, we'll probably never find out unless somebody actually does like a proper leak. But the sad news of it was that literally at the 11th hour, the rug got pulled, and I think probably somebody at GW head office got fired. Because it's screwed so much of their... There was a real feeling, wasn't there? Like, of... almost like a little bit of panic. Like that week, you could tell this was that. I think it was like the first week of August. This was the week it was coming out. It's like, shit. Like, what can we get out there? And then they dropped in that Hobbit miniature. It was like, very, very cool diorama. It's like, here you go.
Have it.
and now everything else has been kind of like either brought forward or delayed because of it. The rumors I've heard is that we're looking at a November release now. So maybe earlier in October, but I think we'd be looking end of October at this rate. I think if we haven't heard anything by the middle of September, we're going to be looking at a Christmas, like that kind of Christmas era release for Legions.
Yeah, I reckon it's going to be a lot closer to Christmas.
How much they're going to release, though, I don't know, because they've been teasing so much information over the past... few months on the build-up to this. Got all of those the Bane Blades, the Krytos, the fire, what I can't remember what it was called, like the fire support detachment with the Dorado Dreadnoughts and the Tarantulas. Then they announced the Solar Auxilia version of that, with more Tarantulas and missile batteries. They've also announced now like the Medusas and the artillery. Like the Lehman Russ mounted Earthshakers and Medusa, which do look very, very cool. She's got all of that as well. They've still not really talked about any kind of individual normal box set outside of the main box. So, like, you know, are we going to get a detachment of separate Space Marines that we can put in? What does that look like? So, you know, by the time all of that starts filtering through, it's probably going to be the new year.
So I'm in two minds about this. So I think definitely the intention originally would have been release core box, and then, like you said, drip feed these you know, expansion boxes. So like the heavy expansion and stuff like that over the next few months. I think maybe because of the delay, very last minute delay, probably not making back on investment, and maybe they'll drop
a few more,
the main set and a few more extra bits in the same month to kind of
see my thoughts at the time was they were going to drop the starter box set, the box of rhinos, the Krytos and the Bane Blades, and that was going to be kind of like your initial wave. Because it makes sense dropping the rhinos at the same time as the box set, you know, basically giving those dedicated transports into what you've already got out of there, and throwing in a couple of super heavies for good measure, and the Direwolf. So the Direwolf box at the same time, throwing that all in there, because again, that also helps by its content for Adeptus Titanicus. And then after that, you would get kind of those fire support detachments, so to speak, kind of come a few weeks after that. But yeah, maybe
you reckon those Titanicus boxes will come out before Epic release?
No. I think that this delay to Legions Imperialis is possibly one of the single worst things to happen to Adeptus Titanicus this year. Mm. Possibly the last couple of years, right? Because they have repackaged all of the loose Titans for release with Imperialis. However, you cannot release boxes for a game that doesn't exist. So how can you possibly put Legions Imperialis branded boxes on the shelves where there is no game for Legions Imperialis? Like, as a new person walking into the store, that's just super confusing.
And no, yeah, I agree, no, absolutely.
So that was a real worry. Because that, I would hope that you would see those boxes re-released at the same time as well, like just dropped back in, because you can't get hold of these separate Titans. And there was a lot of kind of doomsaying going on, and we've seen it quite a lot on our server as well about, oh no, it's like, why haven't they released the starter box? Like the starter box is also gone. Like they're not going to bring that back. And like, I was never concerned that that wasn't going to happen, because if you played AT for longer than 6 months, you realise that, unfortunately, this is a six-month cycle where like it goes out for a couple of months, then comes back in again, because you have these massive releases in the summer in particular, and sometimes at Christmas, which takes up all of their production power away from doing things like starter boxes. But the good news is that those starter boxes are now back on sale. And it seems they're back in America. I don't know if they've already sold out, because it's probably been so much demand, because everyone was buying up this stuff, getting ready for Legions. But it was certainly back on sale in the UK as Adeptus Titanicus. They hadn't done anything to it. So like the starter box was still there, and it's exactly the same as it was. And that's good news for AT. But for anybody new to the game, the disappointing thing is I think you're going to struggle to get Warlord Titans, to get separate Reavers, to get boxes of Warhounds until Legions Imperialis actually drops.
100%. Yeah, it is a real shame. I think because, like you were saying earlier, because of the hype of Legion Imperialis, we were like, let's jump on this Titanicus train. Actually, now it's been delayed, but the Titanicus product has been evaporating to be repackaged over the last few months. You know, it's good news that it's finally, you know, re-released some core sets. I think if they were going to ever discontinue Titanicus, not that they're gonna, or they, you know, they've said they're not going to, but they wouldn't re-release core boxes this close to Legion's releasing without it maintaining as a game.
And they sell incredibly well. Like, they are never in a position with Adeptus Titanicus that they have surplus stock. Like, it is, I think with the exception, I heard rumours that like the Warmaster Iconoclast has not sold as well as they hope it was. But I'm not really surprised if you've ever used one. It's fairly niche. Even more so than a regular Warmaster. But the I forgot my point. No, the beer's kicking in.
Yeah, there we go. That's it. I see it's the age, mate. Beer is addled your brain.
1 month till 40.
Oh god, I'm almost 29.
Don't say it.
Oh, I'm so close to 30 and I'm scared. Christ.
Yeah, things start hurting at 30. But yeah, no, I think that, yeah, it's for anybody who's new coming into the game, it's very, very frustrating because nothing is kind of available at the moment.
For existing players as well.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have to worry too much.
Yeah, all right. Show off.
Yeah, and I've got like a spare warlord up there. I've got over a starter box set's worth of stuff just squirreled away up there. I had a bit of a reputation for buying all the starter sets when they came in to stock.
The reason why I can't get any.
Yeah, but they are obviously, like I say, they're still supporting the game, and I think the biggest indication that they are still supporting the game is we've just had an announcement that they're releasing two new Battle Force box sets, which is for Knights and another one for Titans, which is great news. And these are Legions Imperialis box sets, so again, don't expect it to arrive before Legions Imperialis, but despite them being Legions Imperialis, they contain terminals, they contain weapon cards, everything that you need to play those Titans or those Knights in Adeptus Titanicus. So if that isn't an indication, if that isn't an indication that they're going to continue to support AT, I don't really know what is. And if that is the model that they're going to take with all of the Titans, I think that's great. Like, I don't know whether or not you would get terminals and stuff in everyone, because that tends to be a Battle Force thing to do for AT when we see these come out most years, like the preset Maniple and the first Maniple box that they released, and the household box that they did a number of years ago. The only thing which seems to have been confirmed on Twitter is that they are only going to come with a thin base. They're not going to come with both options of the thicker base and the thin bases. If you're that bothered, buy some replacement bases from, not from GW, but from somewhere else. Like, they're generic oval bases and circular bases. You can pick them up for a few quid.
You'll literally pick them up for pennies if they're the MDF ones as well.
Yeah.
If you're,
and you're, but they're the same size, so they're still going to work perfectly well for AT. You're still going to work with your arcs and stuff. They're just going to be thinner. The only sad thing is that they won't look very good for nameplates. I do like nameplates on Titans, so you want a thicker basis, really, for nameplates.
I'm still figuring out how we can do that.
Yeah.
We can get it working.
You could do, like, an overlap or something, but I don't think it would look quite as good.
Support struts to make it look like it's, like, clamped to the base, maybe, aren't they?
Mm. Yeah.
Then you kind of lose out on the detail on the base because it's, you know, literally covering it, right? So.
Yeah,
it's the end of the an era for that style of nameplates. Maybe it's going to turn into flat nameplates.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, like, there's still a lot of demand for 30k and all of those sort of things.
Battle Bling supplied me with nameplates that I used for my Mortheim.
Very nice.
Warband, and they were beautiful. Shout out, John. Very, very cool.
They are very good. We're still working on Battle Builder as well. It's a side project. It's still coming. It'll come eventually. We just need to work out a few kinks. And because we're all doing it in our part time, like, it's not quite as quick as if it was like our full time gig. But no, I'm really, really excited about these new box sets. So essentially, what the contents that you get within them. If you are looking at the Titan box, it's basically a re-release of the first Maniple box that they released, but you don't get a full Maniple. You only get four Titans. You're getting a Warlord, two Warhounds, and a Reaver. So you're essentially getting a Warhound box, a Reaver box, and it's the Reaver with the laser and the fist. And you're getting a Volcano Apocalypse Missile Launcher Warlord in there. So it's not quite a full Maniple, but essentially it's like the Precept Maniple box set that they did without the Warlord, without the Warbringer.
Yeah.
And then on the Knights box, you've got four Cerastus Knights, six Questorus Knights, and two Acastus. So essentially, that if you're looking at getting a knight household for AT, that's basically a full lance and Acastus support. So that's going to be a good place if you want to start looking at knights for AT. Two banners of three Questoris and a banner of four Cerastus Knight Lancers, backed up by two Porphyrons. So people, a lot of people speculating on price, but I reckon that's going to come in at around £100 UK. I think it will be about the same price as a starter box. The box set with the precept, I think when that dropped was 120, somewhere around that region.
I think it was
region.
That high. I think it was like 110.
Yeah, it wasn't ridiculous. It was very well priced. Yeah, so when you factor in that there's been 18 months, nearly 2 years of inflation behind that, I think at the time it was £85 for a starter box, and now it's £100 for a starter box. I think we'll see a price point between 90 and £100. When you consider that a Warlord is it £65 now on Games Workshop, somewhere in that region. I never buy from Games Workshop. I always buy from my local Friendly Gaming store. So you get 10% off, 15% off, whatever it happens to be.
The age of using the Freddo to track the economic climate is over, and it's now Titanicus box sets.
Yeah.
So we'll see. How hard the cozy lives is hitting a Games Workshop by how expensive the starter sets will be for the Titans.
That's my guess anyway. I think I'm going to say £100. It'd be nice if it was less. It might come somewhere in slightly 90. Less than 95, 90, somewhere around
that'd
that.
Be nice.
Maybe, add in your local Friendly Gaming store discount. It's a bargain. But I still don't know if that's better than buying a starter box. One Warlords, two. I tell you what you do. What you do is you buy a starter box and you buy a Battle Force for Titans. That gives you one Warlord, three Reavers, four Warhounds. You can do a lot with that.
That's a really nice collection.
You've got like a minimum Corsair in there, or you've got a full Ferox, you've got a full Axiom. Yeah, I think there's quite a lot you can do with that. So £200, there you go.
It's not too bad.
Get both of that, you get yourself, what's that? 8 Titans and 2 Lancers.
So that's a Legio with enough, enough wiggle room for kind of whatever list you really want to try and make with it.
Yeah. 80 is not an expensive game, guys. People keep making that mistake. It's very good value.
He says, in front of a cabinet that I'm pretty sure is worth, tents are worth more than my car.
It doesn't have to be expensive.
You choose for it to be, and there's a difference.
Yeah. I nearly bought another Legio, did I tell you?
Yeah, I don't know. We talk about buying new Legios all the time.
One of our friends, Matt, he started, and he's just not been able to play enough, and he did some really nice Krytos. And he was like, he said to me, he was like, do you want them? You can have them for £100. I was like, that's insane. You can charge a lot more than that. And I was so tempted. But it wasn't like if there had been like a Warlord in there as well, because it was only the 4 Titans, so only a star box basically. He just wanted the money back. But I said to him, it's like, you could easily, for the paint job on that, you can double your money. £200.
You'll be snapped up in an instant.
I can't justify it. I can't justify another one.
Like, so you will. There's a starting block, that is, right? You would not be content with just that.
Yeah.
You, Alex Peak, would have to buy Warlords.
I'd need to commission him to paint more for me.
Exactly.
To get me where I needed to be, and I've got behind me like my new Metallica, which I swapped for the Oliver Spry. He told me half of that was stuff that Oliver's painted.
Yeah.
I keep buying off him. He's like my crack dealer for Titans. He sold me his Mortis, and I got him to paint up a few more bits for Mortis, but I'd always had my eye on his Metallica. And I said, look, you ever think about selling his Metallica, you let me know. And he did, but he sold it at a really unfortunate time. And I was like, how about I give you your Mortis back and you give me the Metallica, because there was more Mortis, so he could get more money for his Mortis than he could for the Metallica. And I was able to get the Metallica that I wanted, which is a full Precept Maniple plus a Warmaster in exchange. So this is me growing as a person, right? I've not added more Legios. I just replaced it. But it allowed me to have... I had a heavy loyalist deficit to my traitor forces. So I wanted a bit more. And I was like, well, I need it for a bat rep. If we were to record a bat rep, it's last one we recorded was in January. So we...
We are a podcast. When we can do a battle report, I promise.
Yeah.
The thing is, right, here's the other absolute ball ache about Legions Imperialis being played, is because we had basically been gearing, it's like, okay, it's quite a lot of time and resource goes into filming a bat rep. So it's like, Legion Imperialis is coming out really soon. Let's dedicate our time to preparing for that instead of recording bat rep, so that the moment we have something playable, and start filming for that and get content out for that sooner. But now it's been delayed so much, you know, if we had known before, we probably would have had time to film and edit a bat rep. But they will come. It's not the last of them. We're just trying to find our feet with the, you know, the format and kind of balancing the level of effort and time versus actually, you know, just wanting to get them out, you know.
Well, so, I mean, you would not believe the amount of time it takes to edit what seems to be a really straightforward, easy podcast like this, right? It's two guys talking over Discord and recording it straight into OBS. But if this turns out to be what we're about an hour and a quarter or so in at the moment, you could probably triple the amount of time that it takes recording it to edit it. Now, for a bat rep, and that's quite quick. Like, if I've got an hour and a half's worth of podcast episode, I could probably get that edited in 3.5 hours, 4 hours, maybe. It would then probably take another hour to render it. It would probably, well, maybe not that, maybe 20 minutes to render it. It would then probably take the best part of an hour to upload it to YouTube. So just for that, you're talking kind of, what's that, like 6 hours of work, and then the recording time on top of that. For a bat rep, we are doing what that, so a bat rep, we're normally recording for around about 3 hours. Then they're normally about that much in length, aren't they? The game's normally about 3 hours.
Game 3 to 4 hours a lot of the time, depending on, you know,
plus
but the footage.
But the, on top of that, you're adding probably 2 hours of setup time, maybe a little bit more, an hour of like tidying up afterwards, and then just the sheer amount of time it takes to render segments. So we've been trying to get these things shorter and a bit more kind of like not full on 3.5 hours, but kind of a bit more down sub 2 hours, just to speed up some of the bits. And just to kind of render those segments is hours.
I think it'd be good. I mean, obviously, you know, we don't want to be woe is me. We love it.
It's just that, I guess what I'm trying to say is it's they're not easy.
No, it's worth understanding. And no, I'm not a seasoned editor. I've done it a bit, but like, it's not a full-time job by any means, but it does require a fair bit of work. So,
and to your point, we're a podcast which also dips our toes into other mediums every now and again as well.
If we can treat you to a bat rep whenever we can, we will. But our energy and effort will always be on the podcast.
We should do another big one. I think next time we do one, we should do another epic clash, like we did last year with the Gryphonicus versus the Furians. And I think going about 2,500 to 3,000, big absolutely one, I think that would be quite good.
And you know, guys and girls and everyone else in the community that enjoy the bat reps or want to see more bat reps, let us know the kind of things you want to see and bits you're not bothered about as well. It's always hard to judge what people really want, because even my idea of like a bat rep I want to watch is different to what Alex Alex wants to watch as well. So it's good to get an idea if you guys have any requests of us. But yeah, it's definitely worth it, and it's good fun.
It's good fun.
A big bat rep would be very good and coincide well with the narrative event we're going to as well.
It would do. Yeah. Let's put a pin in that and see what we can do.
Pin in that.
Yeah. Unfortunately, everybody's busy. That is the problem, right? Everyone's going on holiday, or like especially over the summer, that's the big problem. But
maybe we can look at doing another React side chat for the event as well, before the event or after the event. If people want an event debrief, sure, we would happily spend an hour or a couple or so talking about the event, if that's something that people are interested in as well. Let us know.
And of course, if you want to run your own events as well, I think we've said this in the past, but do feel free to reach out to us if you want any help or like bounce any ideas off us. We'll always make ourselves available. We have a sort of a generic pack which you can borrow and sort of like riff off of or get you started.
Analyze.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're new to the game as well, we also, on our website, we have a whole resources section. You'll find things like our event packs on there for our events, but there's also like the Maximal Fire unofficial FAQ, which kind of tidies up AT a little bit to address some of the parts which we've noticed over the past 3 years have kind of started to cause areas of derision or like ambiguity. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It has been...
So...
Go ahead. What were you saying?
Say in summary, a lot of hobby.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been hobby. Good. And in my case, obviously not necessarily like miniature hobby. You've picked up the slack this month on that, but definitely feeling the itch again. Sometimes it's good to step away and take a break for a little bit. It's just a shame. I feel like in July... we kind of really built up some momentum. Got out a lot of content for the channel, getting ready for LI, and then that happens. But we always endeavour to try and get one of these out at least once a month to you guys. If there's anything in particular that you do want to hear, to Johnny's point, about anything really, or things you want us to talk about on the show, then drop us a note in the comments or send us an email at maximalfire@gmail.com or jump on our Discord server and drop us a... slide into my DMs, as the kids say these days. But yeah, thank you very much for tuning in. I've enjoyed tonight. It's been nice to shoot the shit again, Johnny.
Always a pleasure. I think this was the Cities of Sigmar episode of our podcast. And you know what? I loved it. I enjoyed it. It's nice to especially when there's a slight lull in activity, you know, on the Titanicus and
front. As much as we love this game, right, it doesn't mean that we have to be exclusive to it. And, you know, I think the important thing is that if you're a hobbyist, you follow what inspires you and you follow what brings you enjoyment doing. And if you're not enjoying something, you need to walk away from that and take a breath and come back to it later and ask yourself, what aren't I enjoying about this? Because it might just be that you need to change something. But it's been, even though it's only been like probably 3 weeks since we dropped our last one, maybe a little bit longer, maybe 4 weeks now. It still feels like I've been able to take a bit of time for me over the last couple of weeks. It's not been like an extended period, but like just sort of stepping back for a couple of weeks from like the Discord and things has given me chance to kind of level set myself again and come back with the enthusiasm that I need. We've been
especially going... with the you know, the release of Imperialis so close, you know, now it is good, I think, to take a little break so that we're ready for the plunge into
absolutely. But I mean, like, you know,
icy depths of 6 mil.
Yeah, we've been Maximal Fire now has been going for nearly 2.5 years, which is like crazy. And so, you know, we always try and bring you kind of varied content, but also bring you regular content. And
sometimes we're better at that than other times, but
yeah,
we try.
But you know, it's important to, like, we will have quiet patches every now and again. I think it's important to kind of have those when is best, and I think that this last few weeks has probably been the best time of any to take a little pause and take stock again, so that we can make sure that we're kind of continuing to deliver the same kind of quality stuff that you guys want. Just before we leave, Legions, or the Clash of Legions, is not dead, but it is very much on pause. I don't know if you'd noticed that. We will pick that back up again a little bit closer to time, but honestly, we were flogging a dead horse at this point. 1 month before the game, fine, you can pick that up, but like, the whole kind of point for that was building us up to our event,
and ready.
If it's not gonna kind of happen until the game's not going to drop until November, then what? And you can't get the stock. So
it was a panic to just get a couple of Cerastus.
Watch this space. We'll be in touch as soon as we get a bit more of a snifter of what's going on with Legions Imperialis. We'll restart Clash of Legions, and I hope you'll all join us along with painting up and pledging your painting challenges for that. But yeah, if you haven't done so already, please remember to hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, leave us some comments in the comments. Leave us a note in the comments. And if you're listening,
cool. It works.
Yeah, if you're listening on like Spotify or somewhere like that, do follow us. If you can, leave us a review. It's all helps. It all goes a long way. And if you aren't on the Discord channel, jump on the Discord channel. Right. Well, hopefully next time we'll be back with a bit more news. But until then, I guess all that leaves us to do is to say, always remember to go big. What?
Go on. I was following you on. Go on.
Go big.
Go loud?
Yeah, there we go. Like, this is a new thing. We can tell it's completely unscripted. Let's try again. One more time.
Hey.
Always remember.
Say, okay. Always, go big.
Jesus Christ, Johnny.
Hey, go.
Always remember to
go big.
Go loud.
And go buy a Cities of Sigmar army box while they're still in stock. Goodbye, everyone.